Parsha Ki Tisa, Perek Lamed Aleph, starting in Pasuk Yud Bet, section about Shabbos. A whole paragraph about Shabbos, the keeping of Shabbos, and the like, and culminating in the words that we know very well, page 492, Psukim Tet Zayin, Yud Zayin, Bishamu B'nei Yisrael HaShabbat, La'asod HaShabbat, Doratam Brit Olam, B'nei V'nei Yisrael Tidolam, Ki Yishesh Mimassah Hashem at HaShemayim V'Aretz, V'yom HaShvish Shabbat V'Nafash. That's the end of the Parsha. As far as we're concerned, the section about Shabbos. Now the next words after that, Vayitain, and this is what we're going to be focusing on, but in reference to what comes before regards Shabbos, Vayitain El Moshe, Kechaloto Ludaber Ito, Behar Sinai, Shnei Luchot Ha'idut, Luchot Even, Ktuvim Be'etzba Elokim. He gave to Moshe, when he finished speaking to him on Har Sinai, two tablets of testimony. Shnei Luchot Ha'idut. They're made of stone, luchot even, ketuvim be'etzba Elokim, they're, as it were, written by the finger, so to speak, of God. We'll go right into the Midrash, that is based on the word kechaloto. If you look carefully at kechaloto, it is written chaser, meaning it doesn't have a vav after the lamed. Kechaloto. Another reading of kechaloto is kechalato, like the word someone's kala.
Okay.
Kala. Look at line 5. The Medrash writes, Chazal say, Mau kichaloto amra bishimun ben lakish kol mi shehu motzi divrei Torah ve'einan arevin al shom'ein kikala shehi areva labala noach lo shlo amaran. Rish Lakish puts all teachers of Torah on notice. If you're going to speak divrei Torah, if you don't make them sweet and desirable enough to the listeners, like a kala is beloved, as it were, to her husband, then it's better you shouldn't speak. The words have to be attractive, like the attraction of a kala to a chatan, or the chatan's attraction the kala's attraction, attractiveness to the baal, to the chatan. So better you shouldn't speak if you can't achieve that. Lama, why is that? It's line 6. Shebishaa shenatan HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaTorah LeYisrael hayta chaviva aleihem kekala shehi chaviva al ben zuga, because the Torah was beloved to the Jewish people like a kala that is beloved to her spouse. Minayin, because the Torah says vayitein el Moshe kechaloto. But of course in the Sefer Torah there are no vowels. It can be read, and he gave it to Moshe kechaloto. And using the imagery of the kala and the chatan. So that play on words is what the Medrash uses in order to understand the theme that Torah is meant to be a source of love, as it were, or the model, the motif of love. And as the Jewish people are like the kala to the chatan, as it were, of Hashem, the God and the Jewish people, it's like Shir HaShirim, the Dod and the Reya. When it comes to the Torah is like the bride vis-a-vis the Chatan, that is the Jewish people. It's kind of flips. Right? The Jewish people is beloved to them, like the Kala is beloved to her husband, and it's found in the Pasuk. Now, the Sfat Emet, say every time, is the super commentary on the Medrash. He wants to understand the deeper layer of what Chazal were attempting to convey in their words that they read from this pasuk here, kechaloto, kechalato, line 11. This is from Tuf Reish Samach Bet, so it's a pretty late piece of Torah from the Sfas Emes. Tuf Reish Samach Bet is 5662, which means it's already 1902 when he said this. He passed away in 1905, so it's toward the end of his life. Okay, ba pasuk vayitein amosho kechaloto da berito. Line 11, V'nismach leparashat shmirat Shabbat. That's right after the mitzvah of Shabbos. De'ita b'medrash, kechalato, kol she'omer devar Torah, divrei Torah v'en chavivin ha'shomein, kechala ha'reva l'ba'ala, no'ach l'shalom aran, she'shanatan kadosh baruch ha'tol yiso, hayta chaviva alahem, kechala al ba'ala. Exactly a quote from the medrash. Line 13, V'hinei, Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shalom, hayalo ze ha'tshuka v'haratzon b'shleimut, Lachain zacha shenitana Torah al yado. Behold, that Moshe Rabbeinu of blessed memory, he had that level of desire, that level of will, but will in the sense of wanting something, in a whole way, in a complete way. Therefore, he becomes the person who receives the Torah and then transmits the Torah to the rest of the Jewish people. He was on the highest level of desire for the Torah. That's why he merited receiving, being the receptacle, so to speak, of Moshe Kibel Torah Misinam Sar Yeshua. The Sfat Emet writes here, Moshe Gematria Ratzon. Now, you notice that comes after the thesis. It is not the thesis. Because the Gematria is not proving the point. It's the flourish, the sort of the signature on the bottom of what you've said. But it's a beautiful mnemonic device. By the way, the Gematria of Moshe is 345. The Gematria of the word Ratzon is 290, and 56 is 346. It's off by one. You can be off by one in Gematria.
You can.
Yep, that's a rule. Now why?
Give or take.
I'll tell you right now why. Because it's something called the Midat HaKolel. The Midat HaKolel means that there's the Gematria of the word Moshe, and then Moshe, as three letters put together, is a unit in and of itself. To say it in a different way, it's the model I always use, I always think of. It's the easiest model to think of. It's found this way in the beautiful Sefer about Shabbos, called Shabbos Malchasa, by Rav Shimshon Pinkus. He says you have a table. Someone asks you, you look at a table. What do you see before you? A table. How many parts are in this table? So you have the top of the table, and you have four legs of the table, right? Okay, so you have component parts, four legs and a top. That's five component parts. But then you have the whole item taken together. The assemblage of those things actually equals an independent identity. It's the composite of all of the others. So it also counts, so to speak. When you say, I have here a table, it's comprised of five parts. One, two, three, four, five, four legs and a top, assuming it's a four-legged table.
The total is greater than the sum of
it. Well, you could say it that way. But that's what the Midah HaKolel means. That's why it could be off by one. So Moshe is Gematria 345, but that's 345 is the independent letters. You add them together, that's the one. That's why you could say, people say it could be off by one. But the point you got, yeah, even if you're not a big fan of Gematria, the point is the remez. It's not the thesis itself. Right. Line 14. Velozu bilvad. It's not just this, that Moshe Rabbeinu had the highest level of desire and will, force of will, meaning that he willed to want to have a relationship to Torah, to have the Torah, but it's not just that, but it's more than that. Elo shenata zeharatzen b'chol b'nei Yisrael. But that Moshe Rabbeinu implanted this desire within the Jewish people as a people. K'moshe katuv, as it says, Vayotze Moshe et ha'am likrat ha'elokim min ha'machane. Moshe, on the day of Matan Torah, took the Jewish people out. He brought them out. It's almost like he took them under the arm, the people, as a people, and brought them out to meet God. Perish Rashi, would Rashi write? Ki chatan hayotze lahakbil pnei kala. He took them out like the chatan is going to meet the face of the kala. The chatan here being Klal Yisrael. They're going to meet God, so to speak, the Shekhinah, right? The Pnei HaKala, but ultimately, it's the Sefer Torah. They end up getting the Torah. It's Matan Torah, right? And there, I just quoted you the Rashi here, right? Magid Shekhinah Yatz'ah Likratan, the Shekhinah came out to greet them. Sorry, in this rendering, the Jewish people are the Kala coming to the Chuppah, the Chatan is already at, the Chatan here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were. It's only later that it switches, and the Jewish people, like the Chatan, vis-a-vis the Torah, that's the Kala, right? Likrata Elokim. By the way, that's why on Simchas Torah I try to be makpid one of our akafas in the shul that we do. One of the akafas is Ketzad Meraktim Lifnei HaTorah, to the tune of Ketzad Meraktim Lifnei HaKala. Try to do that on purpose. Okay, line 18. That's Rashi. It just says at the time Matan Torah, the Shechina came out to greet them. Kechatan Ayotz Likrat Kala. Hashem Sinai Ba V'lo Nemar Lisinai Ba. Doesn't say God from Sinai came. It says Hashem from Sinai came, and not He came to Sinai. It's like He was already there, and then we were coming down the aisle, so to speak, as it were. Who brought us there? Who is the shadchan? More than the shadchan, the shushvin means the attendant taking the bride down the aisle. Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because he's on the highest level of desire, etc. Line 21. With Shabbat Kodesh, mitgaleh ha'aret Moshe Rabbeinu lava shalom michlal Yisrael ubay malzu atshuka. On Shabbos specifically, we have a revelation of the illumination of Moshe Rabbeinu within the Jewish people. And we go, we arrive at this level of desire. Shabbos, fewer distractions. Shabbos, a day off of work, meant to be a day connected more to Torah. And where we have a little more of a desire. Lachain, mitgaleh ha'aret ha'Torah, b'Shabbat Kodesh, Therefore, the light of the Torah is revealed more on Shabbos. Shehu Yom Ratzon Livnei Yisrael. That's a day of desire of the Jewish people, as we say in our davening over and over again on Shabbos. Be'ava uvratzon hinchilanu. Right? With love and with desire did he give us a heritage. What's that? A desire to be close to him. V'lachein omri b'kabbalat Shabbat ha-mizmorim shel Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom. It's a beautiful idea. Kabbalat Shabbat. What did the Ari HaKadosh and his Beit Din, what did they come up with for this Kabbalat Shabbat? We don't just say, boi kala, l'chadodi v'Rabbi Shlomo Alkabetz. We have all sorts of chapters of Tehillim. You know that according to our tradition, the Gemara says, Masechet Bava Batra, 11 chapters were written by Moshe Rabbeinu of Tehillim. They're ascribed to him, even though they're written in the book of Tehillim. It starts with Psalm 90, Tefillah LeMoshe. It actually says so, Tefillah LeMoshe Isha Elokim. We say it on Shabbos morning, but it's from Tehillim 90. 91 is Tehillim Yoshe B'Seter Eliyam Etzel Shakai Yudlonan. 92 is Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. 93 is Hashem Alach Yud Lavesh. Right? It goes from there. What do you have after that? Actually, two after that. You come to L'chun Arana L'Hashem L'tzur Yishenu. And so on and so forth. The first five of the six chapters that we read at the beginning of Kabbalat Shabbat. Then we have one that's chapter 29, which happens to be about Matan Torah, but it's not written by Moshe Rabbeinu, as it's Mizmor LaDavid, right? Havul Hashem B'nei Kelim, B'nei Elim, rather, among the mighty. Then we have L'chadodi, Ana B'koach, L'chadodi, and then Psalm 92, about Shabbos, written by, according to the tradition, ascribed to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says Friday night even is all about thinking about that which Moshe Rabbeinu authored. We're using the words, so to speak, originally written by Moshe Rabbeinu or ascribed to him as the vehicle to draw us closer into Shabbos. We're connected to Moshe Rabbeinu much more on Shabbos. And we should think about that idea. Witness, by the way, he didn't say it, but it's so obvious. What do we do every Shabbos morning in the Shemoneh Esrei? Yismach Moshe b'matnat chelko. Remember? Talk about Moshe Rabbeinu specifically as an individual. He is happy with his lot. Then what do we say? That's the first paragraph, right? That he got the luchot. Remember? He got, and what did we say next? V'shamru. It's not an accident. It's on purpose. So the Sfat Emet says it's right here. That's why the lead-in to Moshe receiving. This is about Shabbos. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's a gift, if you will, to the Jewish people, bequeathing the Jewish people his desire and imparting it to the Jewish people. The Sfat Emet actually comes around every Shabbos. And how do we do that? How do we commemorate it? Dafka on Shabbos. We start Shabbos with those chapters. Dafka on Shabbos, the Shemoneh Esrei, each time is Be'ava Uve Ratzon. Dafka every Shabbos is Yismach Moshe B'matnat Chelko and conjures, or rather, not conjures, the wrong word, but mentions these psukim from where? From Parshat Ki Tisa, the next pasuk of which is actually the motif of Moshe Rabbeinu getting the kala, the chatan and the kala. That's the luchot that he's getting, right? Representative of. And what happens next? We take out a Sefer Torah, Torah at Moshe Rabbeinu, and on Shabbos we read a Parsha. Dafka on Shabbos. This is the time closest to Torah, closest to Hashem. V'lachein, omrim b'kabbalat Shabbat. Okay, rather, to line 23. V'zeh be'emet b'koach ha'nefesh yeterah shababak Shabbat Kodesh. This is really in the power of the extra soul that comes on the holy day of Shabbos, Shabbos Kodesh. Nefesh, perush ratzon. When we say that a person has a nefesh, part of their soul is a nefesh, a spirit, what we mean is they have a will. A will means a desire. By the way, go too far afield, but according to the tradition, and not just among Hasidim, but among Misnagdim as well. Why? Because it's sourced in basic sources of Judaism. It's actually already found in the Gemara and Brachot. The lowest, almost not just Gemara and Brachot, also in Medrash Rabbah, the lowest level of five component parts of the soul, the lowest, most basic part is the nefesh. Animals also have a nefesh. Their nefesh is another, the way it expresses it is nefesh bahami. It's a animalistic. But the nefesh means it has a ratzon, has a will. Plants don't have will. But animals have will. The will to survive. Maybe an instinct may not be controlled, but it's some force, a life force to survive. A life force to fill in the blank, to feed, to reproduce, whatever it is. Nefesh perush ratzon, he says. And that's why we're talking about the nefesh yetera on Shabbat. He says it means an extra dose, so to speak, of will. A new vista. V'zeh shekatuv vayin nafash vayitin amosh kechalotol deberito hu dvekut atzum. You see on page 492, between Pasuk Yud Zayin and Pasuk Yud Chet, there's a little tab space. That's a Parsha Stuma separating them. The Sfat Emet says they're very connected. Because the word Vayinafash means actually something about Vayinafash could be read literally as some kind of resting that leads to some kind of refreshing of the soul, of the spirit. Right? It's obviously not literal. It comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right, vayinafash. But why is that the word that's being chosen? Why did I say vayanach? Vayinafash milashon nefesh. What happens to that nefesh? We get an extra nefesh, nefesh yetera. And how is it expressed? Vayitena moshe kechalotu deberito. V'zeshkut vayinafash, yitena moshe kechalotu deberito. Dvekut atzun, line 24. Kemoshe katuv, now listen to this, lidaber ito, to speak with him, perush rashi, uva midrash, Shayu Shonim Yachad. Look here, I just reproduced it, the two commentaries he just mentioned. One is Shmot Rabbah. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, same person as in the Medrash on line 5. It's quoted again in line 27. Ma'u lidaber ito. What does that mean, lidaber ito? And if you want to see it in the Chumash, page 492, verse 18. Right, he gave to Moshe when he completed or finished lidaber ito, to speak with him. Says Rashi, milameid shahay, oh sorry, says the Shmot Rabbah, line 27. The allegory could be, or the analogy in this case, a student that was taught Torah by his rabbi. What happens? Before he taught him, the rabbi has to say and the student has to repeat. When he's already feels confident, he's taught the student enough, he says to the student, come together with me. Let's go together, we'll say it. Kach. So too, k'she'ala Moshe l'shamayim, hitchil omar achar borah haTorah. At the beginning of the 40 days, you can just imagine. Hashem says, Moshe repeats. Hashem says, Moshe repeats. K'she'lamda, when he learned it, amar, he said, Hashem said, bo v'namra nomra aniva ata. Havei l'daber ito. But the Bari told me to speak with him doesn't mean just to speak with him back and forth, but together with him. It's a very beautiful idea. Now, so to speak, the union of teacher and student over Torah, and that's the glue that enables them to, the vehicle that draws them together. Line 32, Rashi just writes it a beautiful way, the same thing. Melamed Shehaya Moshe Shomea Piagvura V'chozrin V'shonet Halacha Shneem Yachad. Moshe would hear it, and they would repeat it and learn the Halacha, the two of them, Yachad. That's Shabbos. That's Shabbos Kodesh. A higher level of Nefesh, and therefore a connection, more of a connection to Torah. Who gives us that idea? Moshe Rabbeinu. Line 34. Ze bechinat panim befanim, diber Hashem imachem, ulu Moshe Rabbeinu lav shalom nishar zu habechina, kemo shekatuv, pe el pe adaber bo. So if you just look here, line 37, right? Moshe Rabbeinu tells Jewish people on Sefer Dvarim, he says, God spoke to you face to face on the mountain from inside the fire. Okay? But for Moshe, as that other quote, I didn't give you the pasuk, but it's from Parshat Baal Otcha. The Torah says, Hashem declares, I speak to Moshe peh el peh. But you see where it came from. Where? Har Sinai. They started off 1-2, 1-2, but then they're singing together, so to speak, and learning together. So that's what it means, panim v'fanim, diber Hashem machem. What is Shabbos? It's the recapturing, certainly Shabbos morning, even more than Friday night, it would seem. That's why we say it. Although we're already hinting to it Friday night in Kabbalat Shabbat, already in Be'ava Ratzon. But in Shabbos morning, and that's the daytime is when you read the Torah, we're hinting, and more than hinting, that we're going back to Har Sinai to the minute before the Chet, to the minute of pristine connection between us and God, and we're harking back to that moment, and it's right here. That's why we say it. That's what the Shamru. That's why we have it, one of the reasons, at least what's in Shmona Esrei. Look at line 40, next page. Almost finished, almost out of time. A few minutes left. Line 40. V'zeh she'nevad mibnei Yisrael al yedei hachet k'mo shekatuv horeid ed yecha, or ed yecha, I think, actually. Right? The Torah says, the Jewish people were punished because of the sin. What were they told? Take off your jewel, take off your crown. Ba'alzeh, mevi ba'midrash, that's why there's a medrash that says, L'cha Hashem hatzdaka, v'lanu boshet hapanim. That's, of course, a pasuk from the book of Daniel. You, God, have the tzedakah, means the righteousness, literally, but it also means the tzedakah, in this context, you'll see a moment. But we have a shamed face. Our panim is embarrassed. Shahare haratzon l'mala mitorer b'chol eit l'hashpia ha-Torah, because the desire on high, the desire takes two, the desire on high is always aroused or awakened at all times to bring Torah to the world, to impact through Torah. V'lanu, but on our side, boshet ha-panim. What's our shamed face? The Jewish people's shamed face? That we're not ready to receive the Torah with a full will, full desire. We don't have the same level of excitement that, so to speak, the Almighty has to give us Torah. We don't have the same excitement to receive the Torah. Where do you get this idea from the Medrash? I quoted it here for you, lines 46 and onward. On these very words, Kach patach Rabbi Tanchuma bar Abba. What does it mean that Moshe... He gave it to Moshe when he finished speaking to him. What does it mean? Rabbi Nechemia says even at the time that we're doing acts of tzedakah, we see our actions and we realize we should be embarrassed about it. Why? Ein lanu sa'ash anu. Ba'in, Bizroa, El Bashashanu, Motsin Masrotenu. We only have one time we can come with pride to God and almost demand that we should be rewarded, and that is after we've given all of our tithes. Shinema, Kitechala, La'aser, Maktiv, Basof, Ashkifim Bon Kotchacha, Mina Shamayim. What I didn't quote here, the rest of the Medrash describes, God gives us bounty. He wants a tithe. Give the tithe to the poor, give the tithe to the temple treasury, give the tithe to the Kohen. It's a fraction, and we get to keep everything else. We're really overwhelmed by the level of chesed that God does for us. What do we do back for God? A pittance in return. L'cha Hashem atzdakah, v'lana boshet hapanim. Why is that, says the Sfat Emet, connected to the word v'yitena moshe kechaloto? Because there's an element of embarrassment for the Jewish people that after Matan Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu was at such a high level, even the people on such a high level, but what happened, sadly, we wrecked it. What got wrecked in that? Not just the sin, it was ruinous itself, but more than that, just the desire was also impaired. When do we hark back to try to get back to a time when we're trying again to be more interested, if you will, in Torah, to learn more, to be closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Shabbos, we get the Nefesh Yetera. And close like this, line 51. Everybody with me, by the way, or did I lose you already? You with me? Understand? Okay. Line 51. V'lachein b'Shabbat Kodesh, Amru, Yirei Shabbat, Yirei Boshet. Of course, an anagram, the word Shabbat and Boshet. The letters Shabbat and the letters Boshet. So, this is a quote from the Zohar. One who fears Shabbos fears shame. She'im, ein zuch. Pardon?
Fears what?
If you fear Shabbos, meaning you have reverence for Shabbos, then you have reverence for the idea of being embarrassed. You know, you're afraid of being embarrassed. You'd rather not be embarrassed. So, yeah, see the anagram. So this Zohar Kodesh picks up on it. Okay, so now she'im ein zocheh lezeh ratzon gam b'Shabbat Kodesh. If you're not going to be meritorious to actually have this desire, even on Shabbos, tzarich al kol panim liyot lanu habusha. If you can't get the desire together that you want to learn more on your Shabbos, so at least you'll get a certain sense. At least have a sense of shame about it. Now look what he writes. Uvekoach habusha yecholin lekabel ktsat he'ara al kol panim. And if you'll be a little bit embarrassed, then that's good, because that little bit of being embarrassed, I should do more, that in and of itself will give you some of the illumination of what Shabbat stands for. Hagam she'ein ze bechinat panim befanim. It's still not on the level of panim befanim like we were at Har Sinai. That we're not getting back to already if we're not on that madrega. Line 53. Uveemet yom haShabbat atzmo gam kein me'orer banu. The truth is, Shabbos itself awakens this desire within us. As it says with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, Anochi omeid bein Hashem uveinechem. Now that's line 56. Now line 56 is actually the second pasuk from lines 37-38. on Har Sinai, panim befanim, diber Hashem yimachem bahar b'toch ha'esh. But what happened after that? Later on, minutes later. Later on, hours later. Later on, millennia later. Anochi omeid bein Hashem uveinechem. I, Moshe, stand between you and God. Ba'etahi at that time. La'agid lachem et dvar Hashem, ki yiretem mipnei ha'esh. You were fearful because of the fire. Vo'alitem bahar le'mor. Right? You didn't go up on the mountain to say. And the next verses, of course, are the Aseret HaDibrot. Line 59, the last line. Kemo b'Shabbat, katuv ot hi beini uvein b'nei Yisrael. Right? That's where you have the line before, right on page 492. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Beini uvein b'nei Yisrael ot hi le'olam. As that is true for Shabbos, v'zeh b'chinat lechem mishnah b'Shabbat, chibur Torah shebichtav v'shebe al peh panim b'fanim. This last line, I cannot possibly unpack. I can't do it in 5 minutes. I can't do it in 20 minutes. So I'm gonna leave that for now. But let's just say that last line, like everything else the Sfat Emet writes, is very dense in terms of what it means. What he's essentially saying is, you know how Shabbos is the sign, is the ot beini uveinechem. Shabbos as, I don't know what to call it. It's not an object really, but as the linkage between God and the Jewish people. Where do God and the Jewish people meet? What's the sign of it? We meet, as it were, heaven and earth meet in time on Shabbos. Where do heaven and earth meet, so to speak, on the level of, I don't want to call it space, but on the level of, and I don't want to say an object, but on the level of ideas in Torah. Who draws it together? Anochi, listen to the words, line 56, Anochi, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, Omeid bein Hashem uveinechem ba'etahi, to tell you the Dvar Hashem, because you were fearful of the fire. The Sfat Emet is essentially saying, now to turn it full circle back to the beginning, as follows. What did the Medrash mean when the Medrash had this so-called play on words, kechaloto? It's not just because the spelling looked nice, and it's a nice imagery. There's a deep idea here about the concept of desire. The moment of desire, who had great desire? And it's quite the contrast. Who had a great and unabated desire? The only one who went up onto Har Sinai, who stayed panim el panim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe. What is Moshe Rabbeinu's job? To bring the Sefer Torah down, or the Luchot, down to the people. And what is the Sefer Torah, or the Luchot rather? It's an ot. It's a sign. Now the first go around, it doesn't even survive because of what's going on. But that's the idea. Every Shabbos we hark back to, from the beginning to the and through the whole Shabbos, we talk about Ratzon, more on Shabbos than other days. The Ratzon is the Nefesh. The Nefesh, meaning this idea that this is us, that's the Neshama Yetera. The Ratzon that is Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? We're in a certain way looking up, kiviyachol, at Har Sinai, in our mind's eye, and we're picturing Moshe Rabbeinu and his great desire. Remember what it says also, Yismach Moshe Matal Chelke, ki evan aman karatelo, klil tiferet natat barosh. He gave him a crown on his head. Who didn't have the crown anymore? The Jewish people. If you don't have the crown, at least if you know someone who does, you want to be learning from them. You want to be close to them. And therefore, Shabbos is the day of the rekindling of the desire of the Jewish people for the Torah. And the Sfas Emes says, look, you can't get there. You're not on that level. So at least you should have boshet panim. That also is something. If not panim el panim, so at least boshet panim. Some shamefacedness. It's not a real word, but you understand what I'm saying. And if you can do that, that's also Madrega. And that hopefully helps to rekindle the desire. So every Shabbos is another opportunity to come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, closer in our learning, closer in our mitzvahs, the mitzvahs of Shabbos, mitzvahs generally. And you hear us on this coming Shabbos and welcoming Mori Varabi, Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig, and his wife, Professor Smadar Rosenzweig, to our community. We'll see a living example of a person whose Ratzon in Torah is among the greats of the generation. Say nothing of his intellectual acumen. Everyone's invited to my house tomorrow night, 8:15, for the Oneg. And we'll hear from Rosenzweig at that time, and then through Shabbos from both of them. Adka.